Good morning and welcome to Bethel Baptist Church. If you're visiting with us today, please take a moment to fill out the tab on your bulletin and drop it in the collection plate so that Pastor Otero may send you a note of thanks for being with us today. Joby Noriel will be leading the service and preaching at Pacific Hills Manor at 2 p.m. this afternoon. Everyone, of course, is invited to participate in that service. At the 5 p.m. service today, Pastor Otero will continue teaching the series on Jesus Christ in the Old Testament. He will be teaching on Jesus Christ prefigured as the brazen serpent as revealed in the book of Numbers. Also, we'd like to call your attention to the discipleship class at 4 p.m. The pastor will be teaching the use of electronic search for use of English, of the original languages in the Bible. Please consult your bulletin for other activities. Our scripture reading for this month, which is printed in your bulletin today, is Psalm 57, verse 5. Be thou exalted, O God, above the heavens. Let thy glory be above all the earth. Let us begin our worship now with the singing of hymn number 40, Great is Thy Faithfulness.
Thank you.
as we continue our worship now, please turn to hymn number 485, Revive Us Again. Please stand now as we sing hymn number 465, Springs of Living Water.
Springs of together, and before prayer, I want to thank the Lord for the opportunity that we have in broadcasting in KKXX and the Chico in California. And I have learned through the letters of people that there is a large audience in Yuma, Arizona, via the internet, and in Columbus, Ohio. And so we welcome you who are listening live at 2 p.m. in that place and at 1 p.m. in Yuma. We thank you for listening to our wonderful worship service. Let's pray together. Father, we come into thy presence in the name of our intercessor, our mediator, our high priest, the Lord Jesus. And first and most, we are delighted that we can gather together as a church body in fellowship in the love of Christ, and also in the harmony that we have in our common salvation. Our Lord died at Calvary Cross to pay for our sin. And one day, that beautiful truth was revealed to our heart by the Holy Spirit, and we believe it. And because we believe it, we are here this morning to worship the Lord, to learn about him, and to feed our life with the divine word, the Bible, so that we may know how to even live tomorrow as we go into our duties of our life. We thank you, Lord, that you provide a place here at Morgan Hill where we can gather together as a body of Christ. And thank you, Lord, that you provide us the airways of KKMC and KKXX, and then the internet, and then the tape ministry, Lord, and now the CD ministry. Lord, thank you that you provide such a thing around the clock so that people can listen and can participate with us, can be part of our life, even though they may be in Ohio, they may be in Arizona. They can be part of our life together as we worship the living God. We are thankful, Father, for the missionaries that our church support. Fred and Carol Lewis in Ukraine, now making the trip for deputation into America, and we look forward to see them very soon. And then Carol and Ruth Knott in Huasca, Spain. Father, we pray for our brother Knott, as their car was it's an old car, 12 years old van, and is not working right, and we pray that repair may be found and the means to repair the van may be provided. Father, we pray for Eusebio and Marisa Perez back into Benalmadena in Spain, and we pray that they may also worship today with great joy. Lord, the South Valley Pregnancy Care Center, a light in the middle of the darkest spot in the life of someone, a place of comfort for those who are in need. Thank you, Father, for the support to that ministry. Thank you for Ruben and Irene Zahar as they labor in Lodi with the Spanish-speaking people here in California. For Daniel Lacey and the motor race ministry, Lord, as they plan to expand and move on in different races across America. For Martha Peretti and the drug addicts fields in Argentina, and for the sport association in San Jose. Lord, this is a large list of people that we support, and we want them to have a strength and power as they minister the word of God to people in different areas with different gifts, people who have different needs, but everyone needs one thing. They need Christ Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life. And we pray that these people to whom you have given them gift may develop that, and the provision for each one of them be sufficient so that they can continue to do the ministry. We thank you, Lord, for our church in the area and for the light that our church can provide, and also for the hand that our church can provide for those in need. And this morning, Father, I want to pray for a friend of mine, a pastor in the San Jose area, for Pastor Albert Aslan, as he is in a very difficult situation with his own church. And I pray, Lord, that as we talked together yesterday and as we counsel from the Word of God, I pray that you will bless him and his wife and his family, that he may have a strength to make the decisions that he need to make in order to further his ministry. Thank you, Lord, that we can encourage each other as men of God. And thank you that we can pray openly because we have open needs in our life. Lord, thank you for each family here. And we pray for Mary, who is still sick and home, that you may give her strength and bless her richly. Bless the reading of thy word, Father. Bless the choir as they're going to praise your name. And Lord, anoint my lips that I may bring your word, a word of encouragement, a word of wisdom to your people. In Jesus' precious name, we beg for this. And Lord, your people are good providers. And then we pray again that you may provide for the service and the ministry of Bethel Baptist Church. So bless the offering and bless the giver. In the name of the precious and beloved Savior, we pray. Amen. This is Pastor Otero speaking to you from this part of the church, in the back of the church. And we want you to know that we are here to bring to your attention the marvelous and wonderful Word of God. We pray that you be blessed as we share the Word of God, and we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ be honored. And above all, if you have any special need, regardless where you live, will you please give us a call or send us an email? Our email address will be mine, will be the, as David, R, Otero, O-T-S-T-O-M-E-R-O, at cs, that's CompuServe, cs.com. Dr. Otero at cs.com. Just drop an email and tell me about your needs so we can pray for you. And otherwise, give us a call, 408-778-2595. May God richly bless you as you listen to the service, and may the Word of God encourage your life to follow Him. Let's join the service.
I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
The Lord has been so good to me. I feel like traveling on.
Until that blessed home I see, I feel like traveling on. Yes, I feel like traveling, traveling on. I feel like traveling on. My heavenly home is bright and fair. I feel like traveling on.
Lift me up.
Lift me up and let me stand.
Thank you, choir. Please take your Bibles now and turn to the Epistle to the Hebrews, chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. If you didn't bring a Bible, there's a Bible provided for you in the pew, and you'll find today's reading on page 708. Please stand now for the reading of God's Word, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 19 through 25. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Blessed is the word of God. Let us pray. Holy Father, we thank you that we can come into your presence now in worship and prayer through the veil, the torn body and shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. We come boldly and with confidence. We have no confidence in ourselves, in our flesh. Our confidence is in the merits and the person and work of Christ, our great high priest. We are dependent entirely on his sacrifice on our behalf. What a great and eternal comfort is your faithfulness. We pray for strength, that we would be faithful and steadfast in the work that you have given us to do. We pray now for your bondservant, our pastor, Gabriel Otero, as he brings the teaching from your word. May we be careful to apply that word to our lives, that we may be doers of the word. We pray also for those who are listening, who have not entered your rest, who have not believed you, that you would draw them to Christ, and that they would not be subject to eternal condemnation. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Just before I want to speak to you, you know, last week was my birthday, and so here are the Billy and Andrew and Christina and Benny. They are giving me this beautiful present. I don't want to open. I open at home, but I like the car. See that. They know I like trucks, so they draw trucks and a truck for you. And this one is better, a truck full of ice cream for you. That's wonderful. And this one, he said, love you, and I hope you like the face that is smiling, you know, that they know, and a rainbow for you. Thank you, guys. And one of the greatest privileges of a pastor is the children will call him pastor. Brother Schuller was saying this morning in a church, they seat 10,000 people. He said, one of the greatest privilege. Somebody asked him in Europe, what is the kick that you have in that church? Is when the little one comes to me and shake my hand and say, how are you, pastor? And that's what makes a pastor really extremely, extremely happy. The next event is that we draw to Walnut Creek and saw another boy for the church, all right, arriving. Luke, and the second name? Franklin, Luke Franklin and Prater, all right? He's 58 centimeters long. Now I got you, all right? 22 inches and 8 pounds, I guess, and a few ounces. Full of hair, you know. Yeah. Wonderful, good looking, and Mama is doing well. So congratulations to the Murphy family. And we take these to the Praters, please, as the service is over. These flowers could symbolize the joy of our church to see one of our young people having the number 4 in their family. They have 4 or 5 more to go, but I tell you, that's that is wonderful. All right, that is wonderful. So those who are young, I want you to take the example, and it is a joy to see a little baby in our hands. I hate to hold it. Raquel hold it, and I have it, and then I start playing a little bit, and Raquel don't want me to teach that boy to play soccer. But never cry. Never open his eyes. Never cry. It's easy. And I say, keep like this, because when you get older, you wish you can sleep like that. All right. Let's look to the Word of God. And this time, as you know, we start in the month of January a series of studies on faith's greatest enemies. And our first study was ignorance of God's Word. That's the greatest enemy of our faith, ignorance of God's Word. Last Sunday, we studied acting like God's Word is not true. We act in a lie like God's Word is not true. Now, the third and last study of faith's greatest enemies is lack of patience. And you will see how these relate to you and relate to me. Lack of patience. See, the only way we get patient is by standing on the Word of God and wait. That is the only way you can get patient. It would be great if we could pray for patience coming to us, but that's not the way. We cannot do that. We are not authorized in the Bible to pray the patience be given to us. We have to learn how to stand and wait calmly, not frustrated, nor uptight, because when we are frustrated and uptight, you are not operating in the issue and the most important issue of the Bible, that is operating by faith. Remember what I was my first study. We do not live by sight. We live by faith in the Word of God. And if we are frustrated because God is not bringing to pass something that we pray for, then we are not operating by faith. That is how God has designed the system. It's not my ideas. It's not your ideas. It's not Bethel Baptist Church ideas. That's how God has designed the system. You and I will go nowhere with God if we are impatient. That's it. We go nowhere. See, it is your faith that brings the thing to pass. You and I must believe what God said. So we need to wait. and we need to learn to wait. From the time you pray till the time the thing you pray comes to reality, you need to wait. There is no other way. I know that we get impatient, and I know that sometimes we say, what can we do? It's only one thing. You pray, you believe what God said, now you wait. That is the only way you and I learn patience. That's the only way how endurance becomes really strong. By the way, patience is one of the qualities of leadership. You wait upon somebody to develop his life, and you guide that person. And doesn't matter how many thousands of mistakes that person does, you wait on it. Now let us reason together. Remember Isaiah 1:18 said, let us reason together. Let's reason together in the passage our brother have read for us. There are three things I want you to notice. The Bible really emphasizes with respect to the lack of patience. There are things for your information that you need to know so that you and I learn once for all that waiting upon the Lord is no bad. It's just good. You are in training when we are waiting upon the Lord. Now, number one, I want to call your attention is this. Be aware of God's plan. Be aware of God's plan. Let's turn the Bible to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. That is page 708. That's the passage our brother have read for our blessing. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. The Bible says, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is a faithful that promise. I read it again. The King James Version said this, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. He is faithful that promise. Now, the original text is a little bit different. And it reads in this way, we should hold fast the profession of our hope without wavering. And those who perhaps have a New King James Bible translation, you see that word hope rather than the word faith over there. Now, the word faith is really hope, but it implies the same thing as faith right there. Move your Bible one page to Hebrews 11 and verse 1. In Hebrews chapter 11 and in verse 1, we read, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see that? Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. Thus, if I am holding into my hope, I am holding onto my faith as well. When you are holding into your hope, you are holding into your faith. Because in the Bible, faith and hope goes together. So Hebrews 10:23 is talking about being patient. We used to have a common expression, and I learned it when I came to America in 1965. We have a project. I worked for a big, large engineering company, and they were sales engineers, and we designed a bridge, a very large bridge that will produce a lot of work. And I said, I wish we can get this job. And the man told me, hold tight. And I don't know, hold tight means the building is coming down or what? Say, hold tight means something is coming down. You better hold it or you fall. And so I remember a man from Holland explained to me, He said, you know, hold tight. That means to get a grip of something so you could not fall off and get hurt by slipping off. But hold tight means wait. In our American expression. And so I think Hebrews 10:23 is saying to all of us spiritually, here's God's plan. Hold tight to my promises. Do you see it? That really is fantastic. So he's telling us that we have a confession of faith. When you read the Bible, whether you agree or no, and you agree with the Bible, you are making a confession of faith. And you read a promise in the Bible from God, and you say, oh God, and you pray, God, I believe these. And at the moment you believe a promise of God, you are making a confession of what God is saying. And so you wish that promise will materialize immediately, instantaneously. But if you become impatient about that promise, you are giving up your confession of faith of what you believe. And so God is saying this to all of us. Here is God's plan. When you read a promise, hold tight. Not only you have to read the promise, you also have to read the condition of the promise. God made a promise in the Bible. Hold tight to that promise. Get a grip of that promise. Don't let it go. That's God's plan. That's God's plan. And each time God has a plan, guess what? His enemy also has a plan. Satan. So be aware of God's plan. God, you read a promise in the Bible, hold tight to that promise. Now, let's be aware now of Satan's plan, because that's important. God has a promise. God has a plan. Each promise has a condition. You hold tight to that promise. And Satan comes and wants to destroy us. Be aware of Satan's plan. And I share some of them. Hundreds of things Satan have in mind. But let me give you the most highlight, the most common one. If you go to Genesis 3:1, you find the first one. He would like to place doubts in your mind, and doubts with respect to God's word. The whole world was created beautiful, and Adam was in charge of God's garden, this creation. And look at what happened in Genesis chapter 3 and in verse 1. Now, the serpent was more, said the Bible here in Genesis 3:1, subtle than any other wild creature that the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, did God say, you shall not eat of any tree of the garden? You see Satan's tactics. The woman is holding on to the word that Adam told her. And God told Adam all the instructions. Remember in chapter 2, what he can eat, what he cannot eat, what he need to do, and what he cannot do. All the instructions were there. And Satan comes and plays a doubt upon the word of God. And Satan says in this way, are you sure that God said this? Well, Eve have heard a verbal inspiration from the words of Adam, the word of God. And you and I can hear in the word of God as we read it in the Holy Bible. This is the word of God. And when each time we read it, Satan is not sleeping. He is dynamic in the church of God. And the first attack upon God's plan to hold tight, the first attack is, are you sure that God said this? It's fascinating, because if you doubt the word of God, then your foundation is shaken. If you doubt the Word of God, then you don't have a support where to stand. Actually, if you doubt the Word of God, you have no hope whatsoever. I don't know why, but young ladies are impatient when they get over 30. In the radio ministry and church ministry, from time to time, the ladies come and visit our church, and they like the service, but they are looking around to see if there's anybody their age to be married. Well, I guess it's natural and it's proper. And when they call me or when we talk to them, he said, Pastor, what do you have in mind for a council where somebody wants to get married? I said, well, I have in mind always 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18. And you can read that at home, but mainly 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 14 to 18 says clearly that do not be united with somebody who is an unbeliever, because what union have Christ with Satan? And therefore be separated, say the Lord. And they agree, most of them. But you know, you get to 37, 38, 39, and you are single, and the question comes, are you sure the Bible say that? Well, read it by yourself. How come I am not married? You see, that's Satan. To doubt upon God's word, that's Satan's plan. The first plan he has is to doubt upon God's promise, upon God's word. You read it, you see it clearly, and then you wait for a while, nothing happened, and then Satan can create a little torque there. He can put a foot on it by placing a doubt upon God's word. Now, if you go to the book of Job, that's one book before the book of Psalm, in chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, page 328, page 328, Job chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, Satan will lie to deny God in view of uncertainty. He will lie you to really deny God and get out of God's promise. You know what happened to our great man, Job. He was the richest man in Uz of Chaldean. He was a man, a businessman. He has a rich family. He has children. He lost his children. He lost his cattle. He lost his dairy product company. He lost his truck company because he owns camels, and camels were used for transportation. He lost his dairy. He lost his truck company. He lost everything. That poor guy, in one strike, he became nothing before the world. The richest man who had it all. Now look. His wife is supposed to encourage him. That's where you ladies come into the picture. When you see a man discouraged, you are the encouragement of a man. But this lady did not. Look at it in chapter 2, verse 9. Then his wife said to him, do you still hold fast to your integrity? Do you still believe in the stuff you believe, fella? Now, Job was a believer. I know that. Look at verse 10. Look at how he answered his wife. She said, curse God, and die. He said, you know, you put all your fortune in one basket, God. And look at what happened. You thrash God all your life, and look at what happened. You have nothing there. Why don't you curse God and die? Look at how terrible you are. Now, here's a man who really put all his eggs in the one basket. He trusts God 100%. And look at how he answered. Verse 10. And he said unto her, you speak as one of the foolish women speak. He did not say to her, oh, come on, you're an unbeliever. No, he said, darling, don't talk like that, because that's the way unbelievers talk. What a lesson for husbands. that when our wife are out of the place, we need to still be kind and gentle and forgiving, and giving the women the benefit of the doubt to recover her from her error. And that's what I learned from this. You speak like one of the foolish women speak. Shall we indeed accept good from God? And shall we not accept adversity? Wow, I like that. See, we only expect good from God. Only good. But what about adversity? What do we do when we have adversity? You know, the whole world is watching when we have adversity. When everything goes well, people envy you. That's what they do. But when you have adversity, they watch what you do. And that's when Christianity should flourish. Is that right? And here's what it is. Satan will like you to deny God. And so he brings those adversities, and in spite that you have trusted God 100%, you have read the scriptures, you knew that God, what God said, and you trust God 100%, and now you got adversity, what are you going to do? You're going to keep on trusting God to defeat Satan. But Satan wanted to do that. Satan planned first to put a doubt in God's in your mind. Secondly, he wants you to deny God, really. But you know, how do you overcome something like this? I mean, I don't mean one adversity, one upon the other, like this guy who loses everything. And then in spite of that, you know the book of Job, God sent three friends who were really not three friends, they were three philosophers. And you read from chapter 3 to chapter 41, and I tell you, mamma mia, poor guy. They really squeeze him. You are guilty, you did, you the other, and Job, and the argument, he brings some pride in his life. And I see what God is doing. God is polishing Job, because Job is answering his friends no longer in the fear of God, but he brings some of his qualities and his intellect into the picture. Till come chapter 42. Please move your Bible to chapter 42. It's fantastic. And in verse 5, here is how you really defeat Satan when he comes with his plans to you so that you can have a patience. Look at in chapter 42. From chapter 3 to 41 is a battlefield. But in chapter 42, here is the glorious victory. Verse 5, please. Job is speaking, and he said, I have heard of you, you as God, by the hearing of the ear. But now my eyes see you. Now, ladies and gentlemen, God did not came down from heaven and stood before Job. No, no. You know what he says? He said, you know, I study all your life about you, and he maybe had the Pentateuch already in his hand. He said, I study everything about you. I know you. I even believe in you and so on. Mentally, I have a tremendous structure of who you are. Mentally, I knew what I believe. I knew what I stand. I know how to answer. I know how to behave. I know this. I know the other. But after the whole struggle, after 4 or 5 years of struggle and adversity, after I have nothing, even my body, then I see you. You know what that means? And now I do understand. Now I do believe. Now I see it in my own heart. Yes. Happened to us. We are not yet victorious. We are not yet out of the woods. But we see what God is doing. And when that happened, wow, what a peace of mind. And that's the beauty. Satan can be overcome by you understanding what God is doing in your life. And when that takes place, then you are at peace. I pray for 3 years already with my wife. I know I'm going to come to 66. I thought, well, I maybe be in the business of the ministry until 67. Somebody counseled me, it's good to retire 67 because you get older, you get your own ideas to avoid old people's behavior and so on. And I met with people in Texas and different professors who I admire them for their ministry, and most of them retire 67. So I thought, well, let's pray, Raquel, to see. I said, at least, I told them, I had two ministries, so at least one need to go. So I pray, Lord, take one away. Just take one away. And you have plans. And you have a guess of what is more easy to be taken away and to be used. And you think that God would speak to a pastor in his office as he writes and studies his sermon, that God will sit in the chair and say, Gabriel, let me tell you my plans. I know you physically do not believe that, but that's the way sometimes comes. How God's going to let me know which way? Because I don't want to quit one until God let me know. Well, he brought in a storm into one of the ministries. And for the sake of those who listen, not in the church. I mean, in a storm that have no ever a dimension in the history of the Christendom. And I was informed that I was in the middle of the storm. And I don't know this. You know, when you get a hurricane, they have an eye. And they say, you are right in the middle of the eye. And I don't know this because I'm praying, God, just remove one. I don't want to remove it. I don't want to do anything until God remove it. But I never expected the adversity will be the thing that God will use to remove it. And so I got the idea. After studying the sermon, I've been studying this sermon about 6 months ago, preparing always 6 months ahead of my preparation. And I had no idea that this was good for me. That God works through adversity. When we stand still in the things that are proper, God clears the way at the end. I don't have to clear up anything. The only thing I have to do is just stand and say, this is what I believe. That's it. It's amazing. So my brother and my sister, be aware that Satan works in mysterious ways. And sometimes God even allows adversity. An adversity that has such a dimension that you have no idea. So to make you strong and to clear the way. May God bless you. And if you are in adversity, it's no fun. I want to tell all of you, it's no fun. Wherever I go, people look to me and say, hey, what is going to happen with this? I don't know, sir. I know where I stand. I don't know where other people stand. It's amazing. Amazing. Be aware of God's plan. Be aware of Satan's plan. But now let me close with positive thinking. Be aware of God's counsel. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Be aware of God's counsel. Here's the counsel of God in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 35 and 36. Therefore, do not cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. You got it? After you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. In everyday language, you could paraphrase these two verses in this way. Beloved of God, do not give up. Do not give up. I got the message. You can get pressure from here, impression from here, impression on here, pressure in the back. You don't give up. You stand. That's what God said. Because after you do the will of God, then after you do the will of God, God will work with you. Notice again, when the promise comes to reality is after we have done the will of God. You may ask, what is the will of God? Well, depends your circumstances. If, for example, if you are praying, the Bible said, remember my first sermon, Mark 11, verse 24. If you are praying, believing, you will receive it. That's the will of God. You have to believe what God said. See, the will of God is that when I pray, I believe. The will of God is that I do not deny His word. The will of God is that I stand as a father, a supporter of my family. I stand as a mother, the leader in my home, protecting my children. I stand as a worker, a workman. I'm not ashamed of my work. That when I work in the fields, I'm proud of my job. In other words, the will of God is all over the Bible. Express it. And God is saying, you need to do the will of God. You need to stand in the will of God, and you will not be suffering. God works after you have done the will of God. It's amazing. So God's counsel is this: be sure that what you are doing and where you are standing is exactly the will of God for your life. If this is what God said in His word, you stand. And God, after you stand, God will act. You parents who have a lot of children, I have only one, and was the most obedient, was like a lamb. I can say to Miriam, stand up and read the book. She stand up and read the book until I say next order. A kind of child, gifted child. In obedience. But Miriam have three daughters, and they are no Miriam. And so you who have 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and who knows how many, I imagine there's turmoil some days. They have to. But you as a father, you stand supporting your wife. Supporting your wife. Strong with your wife. Don't let any child. My specialty in my home when I was a child was trying to divide mama and papa. But that I cannot do it because they talk in private. And they, when both came in, I'm trying to find out what they have in mind, and I can't. But I told my brother, let me fix this. And I never was successful because of their unity. That's the job of mama and papa. And what I'm saying is this, you as a mother and father, do the will of God, and if you have to say no to a child, you say no, that's no. That's the will of God. And you're going to have a screaming, and you're going to have all kind of reaction, and you say no. God answer when we are doing the will of God. So here's my conclusion. It is found in Hebrews 6, verse 12 to 15. It's the whole sermon in a nutshell. Hebrews 6, verse 12 to 15. I read it for you, and you will see the conclusion. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Verse 13 in Hebrews 6. For when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, verse 14, saying, Surely blessing I will bless you, and multiply I will multiply you. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. When did Abraham get the blessing? When he prayed? No, sir. When he thought about God, no. When he read about God, not. The Bible said clearly here in verse 15, after he had patiently endured. Woo! That gave us encouragement. Let me give you some encouragement. Proverbs, you don't have to look. 22 verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go. And when he is old, he will not depart from it. And you train a child. And you teach that child. And at 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, they take off in a different direction. No panic. You have trained the child. With all our imperfection, let's put it this way. We have trained the child. And at 20, 21, 22, that's things that are not really even in your mind. You never thought about it. Don't panic. Train up a child, said the scripture, and leave it to God. One time in Newark, in the city of Newark, California, when I pastored Newark Bible Church, A man came in and shake my hand. He said, I'm 72 years old. I was trained in Sunday school. At 15 years old, I said, I never step in Sunday school again. I never step in a church again. Until somebody told me, there is a church and a school. And I came here, and he said, I surrender to God. I said, where is your mother? I assume your mother is in heaven. Yes, sir, my mother passed away. The work of that mother is not in vain. Parents, your work is not in vain. See? Now look, in Psalm 119, verse 105, that was the verse my mother gave to my father on the wedding. She wrote this word, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And you see the word of God is a light unto your feet. Fantastic. And is a light into your path, into your future. And you know if you do the word of God, it's going to be trouble. You do what God said. Wife, you have a husband who's an unbeliever. Remember 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 1? Likewise, wife, be in subjection to your own husband. Love him. That if any obey not the word, they also may, without the word, be won by the behavior of that woman. When you love a husband with passion, then he had no other thing to fall into your hands. See, not at that moment. I remember in the Lord's Supper, in the city of Friedman, in the home, at the end of the year, a man stood up, about 68, 69 years old, and he cried as can be. And he said, for 39 years, I have made the life of my wife miserable. Miserable. I mean, I criticized her. I did all kinds of things to her. But now I know the Lord today. And he cried, and he said, I don't know what to do for my wife. She was so patient with me. Ladies and gentlemen, patience is one of the greatest enemies of the faith also. Ignorance of God's word, acting as the word of God is not true, and the lack of patience. Taking ourselves the liberty to say, I want it now. I hear a preacher in television. Say it, Lord, do this now. And I said, Lord, have mercy. Lord, have mercy. That ignorance of the word of God. God tell great things in his word. They are for now and for later. Some of them come now. Some of them come later. Be sure that you understand the word of God exactly as it is written. And be sure you stand in the word of God. Don't let Satan put doubts in your mind. Don't let Satan, by adversity, deny the Lord. Just stand on the word of God and wait upon the Lord, even if you have to wait the entire life. When Miriam was born, it was a very difficult case. I was doing a big, big, large church and hospital. And I had to be in a board meeting that night. And Raquel's mother was with me in the hospital. And Miriam was, there were some difficulties. And the doctor said, you can go and come later. The child is not going to be born until 4, 5, 10 hours from now. And so I went and back. And I found my mother-in-law praying. And I joined with her praying in a room. And then the doctor came. He said, you know, I'm a Jewish doctor, he said, and we believe in the God of Israel. And I know I heard you praying in the name of the fathers of the faith, Isaac and Jacob, and then on Jesus. And he said to my mother-in-law, he said, Doña Maria, suppose, he said, I'm not saying it's not right, but suppose that all these things that you pray and have confidence on, you die, and you go to heaven, and you find it's a lie. He said, well, doctor, I tell you something. If it's a lie later, I deal with that then. But now, I live a life that nobody can live, a life of peace and joy like nobody can live. And the doctor left crying the room. I tell you, this is not a lie. My brother and my sister, let us have patience. And let's say, God, I know what I pray, I'm right. I know what I'm waiting for, I'm right. Just do it when you want to, Bring it to my life when you want to. I'm here waiting for you. Whatever it is, change your son's belief, change your daughter's belief, change your husband's belief, change your jobs, and like in my case, cancel one ministry. Lord, when you want to, just do it. But I know I'm right in doing this because your word says so. Patient. Satan, the greatest enemy, will come into your life and trying to bring adversity. Husband and wife glued together, will ya? Glued together. Don't blame each other. Don't blame the wife. Don't blame the husband. Whatever decision you take, don't blame anyone. You know, somebody has to take a decision at home, and then the blame's gone. Don't do that. Just look to God and say, God, bless me with patience, waiting for that moment where victory will be won. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that these greatest enemies of our faith can be overcome by the power of the Holy Spirit in us. We can read the Bible and study the Bible and overcome ignorance. We can act in faith upon what you said. And then, Father, we can wait. Yes, Lord, we can wait. We all have difficulties and we all have adversities and we all have something that we need to wait for. Cause us, oh God, to have a spirit in which we show our Christianity by waiting strong, knowing that we stand in the truth. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the counsel of your word. Bless your people with patience. In Jesus we pray. Amen.
Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is holy. Be still, O restless soul of mine, bow before the Prince of Peace. Let the noise and clamor cease. Be still and know that He is God. Be still and know that He is faithful. Consider all that He has done. Stand in awe and be amazed, and know that He will never change.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much. Boy, it made me all and all again.
We have a little bit of a special thing for you today. And before we do that, I just wanted to read you some scripture, Pastor.
Please.
I'm going to read from Romans chapter 10, starting in verse 11. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek, for the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then shall they call on him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? You are our preacher, and we are very grateful. And we want to be able to say to you, happy birthday. And we also want to be able to say to you and to your lovely wife, happy anniversary. So we have a couple things for you today. And there's somebody supposed to come around from the back right about now with some goodies. And to start with, we have a cake.
Oh, wow. Oh, wow. 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 Wow, look at what a sugar bowl. Wow.
And so we want to be able to say happy birthday and happy anniversary, and I think we probably should sing a little bit about that.
All right.
Happy birthday
to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear pastor. Happy birthday to you.
Here we have some presents from Sunday school. I guess we should say happy anniversary as well.
Let's do that. I get it. Thank you very much. Wow.
Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, God bless you. Happy anniversary to you.
And that's 41 years?
41
years.
Years my wife is putting up with me, that's a lot, you know. You're talking about patience. Or let us stand for the benediction. I guess we're going to be a part of the cake over there. All right. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you bless us with love, which is the main ingredient of our relationship. We love each other. We accept each other. We stick for each other. Lord, thank you for training us in this world so that one day we'll sit in heaven in that glorious and wonderful mansion of God together with Jesus, our Savior. Meanwhile, help us to understand every move that happened in our life and help us to stand still as Miss Noriel had the son and know that you are God. And glorify you to the very end of our life. Lord, Lord, we want patience. In Jesus we pray. Amen.